You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
And if you don't know that, then you don't deserve to get in.
I'm sure that's what James is struggling with right now. he's never the last one to log in.
Right.
James, did you forget the password?
Well, we got yep. there.
Yep. we knew that you're never the last one. I was like, he's struggling with the password.
I had to scroll back through the messages to find it.
I did the same thing.
There you go.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
Hey, what's up, Houdat Nation? Yeah, thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. And before we begin this episode, this is your daily reminder to tune in to our Facebook live stream draft night party, where we are going to be live for the entire first round of the NFL draft.
As is, of course, the tradition.
And as usual, we'll be inviting our Dome Patrol podcast listeners on the show to have a couple of drinks with us. We're going to be there beginning to the end, and then we're going to overreact to whatever decision the Saints make. On this episode, however...
What day is that?
That's going to be April 27th.
It's a Thursday.
Yes. It's a Thursday, April 27th.
A month from today.
Yeah. I got it. Oh, yeah. That's why I was confused. All right. On this episode, we're going to talk about the recent signing of wide receiver Bryan Edwards. Big headline receiver.
Super Bowl.
Thanks, right? All right. We're going to talk about recent the PFF free agency scores for the NFC South, the Vegas' odds for the Saints over-under wins, and a few other topics that are circulating around the team and around the league this week. So put your hands and legs inside your earbuds, keep your seatbelts on at all times, and enjoy the show. On the show, On the show, we have Wesley, James, and Jason. Jason, welcome back to the land of the Houdat Nation.
That's right. Back from the bayou.
That's right. How was the bayou?
The bayou was great. I ate a lot. I think I gained a few pounds. And I got some sugar, so...
That's great. Thanks for stopping by.
And that's not code for anything.
Did you get consent?
He got some sugar. You got that white snow. All right. Let's talk about Bryan Edwards joining the New Orleans Saints. I'll start this off by a comment that I made with the...
Who the fuck is Bryan Edwards? Is that your comment?
Are we sure it's not Braylon?
Is it Braylon?
Some know it's Brian. Somebody said it was Braylon earlier on.
Okay, thank you. Jason. I'm like, did I make a mistake? Because I don't ever get names wrong. Colin Saunders comes to mind. So look, I got it right. You see? No, okay. So a lot of fans from opposing teams making fun or talking shit about the Saints and this signing as though we're signing him to be our wide receiver one or two. When clearly... Or three or four, probably. I don't know, maybe four. But it is funny how the rest of the league is is thinking that they're poking fun of us, but the reality is that we're so prepared for next season, we're already looking for our bench strength.
Anything that pushes Traquan Smith and Keith Kirkwood further down the roster is good with me.
Mm. So you don't like Traquan? But he's blocker for Jamal Williams.
I've seen enough.
The only guy still here from the 2018 draft class. How was it him?
Because he can block.
Can he, though?
Can he?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the catching and the staying healthy that he cannot do. But also, we're supposed to be talking about Bryan Edwards.
But the fact that he's so bad at catching that every single time he's on the field, it's a run play, kind of gives away our offense.
Right. Yeah. Kind of like Taysom.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
All right. So, Bryan Edwards, what do you like about this? Why do you like this signing?
I mean, big-bodied receiver that has a relationship with Carr, has proven that they can work together, is a contested catch guy. And listen, we can sit there and say, yeah, but he hasn't had that many catches. But with the amount of catches he's had, a large percentage of them have been contested catches. He's somebody that goes and fights for the ball, which is what we're going to need from your fourth and fifth receiver. Listen, if Michael Thomas stays healthy, big if, I get it. Juwan Johnson's going to catch more balls than him. Michael Thomas is going to catch more balls than him. Olave and Shahid are going to catch more balls than him. Alvin Kamara, even he suspended half a year, is going to catch more balls than him. And probably some rookie that we bring in is going to catch more. I mean, Bryan Edwards is a guy that when you throw him the ball, at least has a relationship with Derek Carr, has proven he can catch the ball. And I don't even want to really care about what he did last year with Atlanta, who had a quarterback who could not throw the ball and didn't even try to throw the ball with Mariota. I mean, who knows what that is? But, I mean, if he comes in the last year that he played with Derek Carr in an offense like the Saints offense, he had 571 yards receiving. If he does that, I'm happy. Like, if our fourth receiver has 500 yards receiving, like, get out of here. What are we talking about?
Mm-hmm. James, what are the fair cons about this? Or Jason, the fair negatives about signing Bryan Edwards?
I
say Jason because I think you were the one in our private chat that was meh about it.
Well, I don't have any cons about him. It's fine. It's depth. I'm not expecting a ton from him. It's fine. Like, I honestly don't, like, I feel bad that I'm on a Saints podcast and I say it. I honestly don't care. It's fine. Like James said, if he pushes some of the other shitty receivers off the roster, then fine. But it's not like I'm expecting a ton of stuff from him. Right. So, yeah, look, it's fine. They want to make a move. That's fine. Whatever. Right. It's good. Okay.
James,
right, we only have 11 more seconds that we're allowed to talk about Bryan Edwards, who's our fourth or fifth receiver. So, James, you got to close it quick.
Right.
I've already my piece. Anything that moves Keith Kirkwood and Traquan Smith further down the roster is good to me.
Oh, well, he only took his 11 seconds. Look at that. Well, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank
you. Bye-bye, Braylon Donkeys.
Don't forget. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed this donkey bite. Right. All right. Bryan Edwards, you're right. I mean, it's not really necessary to spend a whole bunch of time about a guy who's going to come in for package plays or things like that. All right. So
having said that, with our history, by week four, he might be our number
he'll
one.
He'll be a starter. Good point.
Keith Kirkwood has played multiple games as like the number one and number two receiver the last two seasons.
I don't care right now. Yeah, at some point.
Pining for Marcus Callaway.
I'm going to be forced to care a lot more than I should.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of Callaway, Sean Payton took Callaway. So that's something I didn't say in the intro, but let's take a quick moment about Sean Payton and the Denver Saints now have 16 former Saints or players or coaches combined on the Denver Saints team. Now he came after Callaway. I mean, and we all knew Sean Payton liked Marquez Callaway because of the way that he used him when he was here in his last year. Granted, he had to, but I mean, seriously, is this maybe an example of how Sean Payton gets so laser focused and tunnel visioned on a player, no matter how good or bad the player is, and it's just, I want that guy on my team, and why?
It's why he spends four draft picks on Adam Trautman.
Yeah, yeah. He has certain guys, like Taysom Hill. Like, he was going to get Taysom Hill on the field. Granted, that's fair. But Callaway, too.
Well, he's Steve Young. He's the next Steve Young.
Because Callaway is?
No, Taysom.
No, Taysom Hill.
Taysom said that about Taysom.
Yeah.
Hey, so I'll just say, listen, and I believe eventually in the next few years that Peyton will have success in Denver. I think he'll, having said that, this makes me step back from that a little bit. If he had changed teams in 2014 or 15 and taken a bunch of Saints players and coaches, I got you. The last 3 years, I'm not sure if that's the Saints players and coaches you should be picking.
Well, he did take Joe Vitt. Hold on. He
Well, you remember when we finally fired Joe Vitt, what did our defense do? It went to the fucking moon.
I know. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's kind of chasing the wrong version of the Saints. or unless he's like, no, that's not why. It didn't work because of these guys. It worked because it was in New Orleans.
I just want to say, I will not be hypocritical. I'm going to take it any further because I said the same thing about Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen had coaches that worked for him for the Raiders. Hey. Those coaches have gone on to do good things and have success in other systems. And then when we got them back together 5 years later, was like, oh, he's getting back the sucky Raiders coaching staff. And so I think you can spin this one way or the other. I think if you get Joe Vitt, you're not trying to make him a defensive coordinator. You're not trying to make him your interim head coach. You're just having him focus on one particular set of defensive players. He's probably going to kill that. Just like Doug Marrone. Doug Marrone does not need to be our offensive coordinator, does not need to be the assistant head coach. But if he's going to teach the offensive lineman to block and that's all he's going to do, Doug Marrone's an all-star. So
the other thought I had about specifically Joe Vitt was maybe Joe Vitt is good for when you're coming on to a new team and you're going to change the culture and you need your right-hand guy. You know, he's like the hand of the king kind of guy. And maybe that's why he's got you. And Joe Vitt is good for that. And then after about 2 or 3 years of setting that culture and you've got it established, it's time to let Joe Vitt go back into hiding until you move to your next team. And you just bring him out for those moments.
And we know how much of a control freak is. Peyton's going to do Peyton, no matter who's how many people are working for him and what they've done. Like, Peyton's going to be in charge of
everything. So you bring your guys in that you trust and that trust you and that are going to actually help you establish that type of control. And that's maybe why he brings Joe Vitt.
You know, when you leave the room, they're going to repeat exactly what you said, exactly the way you said it. And there's
And he's going to report back to Peyton what other people were saying about him. Sure. Oh, this guy's a problem. Right. So, okay. Enough about Sean Payton. He's not a Saint anymore. PFF. PFF announced their own free agency scores late last week. The NFC South, they ranked the Saints last with a C. And the Falcons and Panthers, were they first with a B plus or a B minus? Falcons,
Panthers, and Buccaneers all had a B, and we had a C.
Yeah, ranking their offseason moves so far.
Right. So what the fuck? Because one, admittedly, I'm not following the Falcons and Panthers and Tampa Bay's moves like I'm following the Saints' moves. So do they deserve Bs?
Well, how can Tampa Bay get a better score than us when they signed Baker in Mayfield?
So just immediately,
it was a time we wanted Baker.
You can throw out a lot of other stuff. So you know, we lost Davenport for a contract we shouldn't have matched. But on quarter, and they lost Leonard Fournette. They've lost two offensive linemen again after already having a bad offensive line.
They lost Tom Brady.
But here's the deal.
Yep,
we're talking about upgrade this season. We went from Andy Dalton to Carr. They went from Tom Brady to Baker Mayfield.
And they got a better grade.
Like, what?
The only thing that makes sense is if they're not dinging them, like they're not deducting points for losing Tom Brady because Tom Brady retired and it's not a move. It's not a decision. You know what I mean?
They made a decision to sign Baker Mayfield, though.
Right. I know. Like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not even going to argue whether they get a B or not. That's between them and them. So why would we get a C? What about our decisions and our signings?
The other way, I could be okay with them giving us a C in a vacuum, but we're comparing us to other teams. I'm okay with us getting a C, but Tampa Bay gets a D minus. Like, it's because our grade's not in a vacuum. It's you're comparing the whole NFC South. Their offseason's been worse than ours. Great. Don't give us an A for getting Derek Carr. Great. But
I don't understand. You signed the best quarterback in the free agency period.
And we have spent the most new contracts, I think second between of all teams.
Also, do we not get credit for taking the salary cap situation from $6 billion over the cap to $23 trillion under the cap? I mean, come on. I might be exaggerating the numbers a little bit, but you get the point.
I think you're close.
You're only off by a million.
Right. Or I could do like Succession, 10 billion conversation ender.
What's are you just rounding?
Yeah.
Just round up.
What's a $500,000?
So, and I can see them not giving us credit for keeping Michael Thomas. He was under contract, whatever the contract negotiations, he was under contract last year. He's under contract this year and he hasn't played in 3 years. So don't call that a wash, but I mean,
no, that's a good,
we didn't,
the structure of the deal.
We didn't overpay Marcus Davenport, who had half a sack last year. And you know what? Williams may not be a superstar, but he scored more touchdowns than anybody in the NFL last year. Give us some credit for that. Like, that's a positive for the amount that he signed in a contract. Yeah. And then I'm just sorry. The Carr contract signing alone is worth a B grade if you do nothing else.
But and that's what I'm saying. Like, PFF clearly is not looking into the details of these decisions. They're just looking. They're probably also doing it because they know they can get a rise out of us.
Probably based on their stupid ratings anyway.
Either that or Jonathan Abram is the one F that's bringing us. We had an A, but Abram gave us you dropped your grade down to a C.
I mean, everybody griped about Marcus Williams leaving and what that did to the defense. So we needed to bring in a safety who can miss tackles to replace Marcus Williams. So, I mean, it's actually probably an upgrade.
Right. All right. Now, so what would you grade the Saints in fairness? What would you grade the Saints free agency so far?
I'd probably give it a flat B
for offseason moves.
Yeah. I mean, you're regardless of what happened, you lost two veterans off your line, and Caden Ellis, we know if everybody's healthy, is our third linebacker next year that you can overpay. But last year he had an impact. I think he's second on the team in sacks or third. Yeah. He had 7.5 sacks last year. So, I mean, but I'd give us a flat B. I'm not calling us an A+, but Carr is a huge get. And I think everything else is kind of a wash of how you can go back and forth. I mean, maybe you can say Onyemata and Davenport, like they were experienced in the system, losing those. We're bringing in two guys that haven't been.
We established two episodes ago that losing Williams, those two players shouldn't ding us. So,
I mean, they shouldn't. I mean, they are the Caden Ellis of the defensive line. I mean, they're guys that played a little bit and looked good. And let's give them some more playing time. See if they can keep up that pace. And Williams is a positive signing for a team that needs somebody.
Yep.
Having said that, I think we've addressed a lot of issues. So what we have to do in the draft looks pretty easy.
Yeah. Jason, James, either one of you have a grade different than a B, a flat B?
I wouldn't grade because I think grades are dumb. You know, you could argue the Saints did probably as well as they could have in the offseason. I mean, I think they're better. I mean, I know we lost Nielsen. That stings to me, but we still have Dennis Allen as a coach. But in terms of the player side, I mean, I like Williams.
There's the C.
The defensive, I'd go B-. I don't like him, but again, like these, you know, it's a bunch of nerds behind a computer just threw out a grade. You know, who gives?
Whoa, man! Why are you gonna be making fun of us like that?
Having said that, Jason, like whatever our grade is, B-, you want to give it a C+, whatever it is. But can you make any sense of Atlanta, Carolina, or Tampa Bay having a higher grade than us?
No. I mean, well, I. So obviously Carolina made the big trade to get to the one overall pick. They're going to get their quarterback. They did have some nice signings. They signed DJ Chark. So
I mean, they traded DJ Moore for DJ Chark. That's the wrong DJ.
I mean,
two
sides of a coin. It doesn't. I don't think it really matters.
Yeah, James, but, grade.
So yeah,
yeah. I'd probably say somewhere between a B- and a B. The main thing was getting Derek Carr, and that's what we've done. And we have massively upgraded the quarterback play. I think Wesley, you made the point. We are perfectly set up for the draft now. We don't have to make any stupid moves. We will, because it's what we do, but we could pick at 29 and 40 and get two really good players who are going to contribute straight away.
Well, and after signing Bryan Edwards, I think we have around $13 or $14 million left to spend. 3.2 of that's going to go to our draft class. So, like, we still have $10 million to spend, and that could be six players. I mean, with the way that the Saints do stuff.
would it take to get an A? Like, you're all given a B. What's missing?
There wasn't really anything to do to get an A other than bringing in a new coach or bringing in like a really, really good quarterback.
So if we trade a third for DeAndre Hopkins and then also sign Ngakoue or Frank Clark to a free agent deal, we're an A.
Okay.
I mean, you do those two things, which I don't think we can do. But you do both of those. Yeah, great. A.
So you're saying,
of course, then as we've seen with the Saints, we'll be the one team dinged for giving too much for DeAndre Hopkins at 31 years old. Who would pay that for him? So, I mean, who knows?
That's right.
But you know what's weird is that we get the lowest grade in free agency, but Vegas is predicting us to go from last in the division to first in the division.
Because Vegas knows what the hell they're doing.
Which brings us to
that's called a segue.
Uh-huh. So that brings us to the topic of the Vegas over under for wins. And they are giving the Saints 9.5 wins, which is nice because that's a really good spot to decide whether, I mean, basically you're 10 or 9, right? And so which of you feels like you would take the over on 9.5 wins based on today's current roster when the number came out?
I'm probably the only one that would take the over.
You take the over.
Everybody else is a little scared. I just look at our schedule and like, I would just have to take the over.
I
think it's like 51% that we're going to be the over, but it's more than the under.
Yeah, I would take the over if I knew that we wouldn't lose a lot of these starters to injury, which, like, so in a theoretical world, I'm taking the over. But if I'm putting real money on the line, I'm taking the under because you know we're going to have some injuries.
Yeah, so the roster that you have today is not the roster. 17 games. You want to guarantee me that.
Right. Yeah. And then you also have the unknowns. I mean, I know Dennis Allen gets dinged and he's like, oh, he's going to ruin everything. Dennis Allen doesn't have anything to do with the offense. So if you're going to take the under because you think that the offense is going to underperform, it's not a Dennis Allen indictment. It's a Pete Carmichael indictment. So at least if you're going to take the under, tell us that it's because of Pete Carmichael, not because of Dennis Allen.
No, I'm taking the under because of Dennis fucking Allen.
Oh,
Dennis,
all right.
What has Dennis Allen done to make you think that he can even have a winning record as a head coach?
I mean, the offseason decisions seem pretty good.
He's won four games and zero seven. Games. Then he won seven games. The under is the easy automatic play that you have to do until he proves otherwise.
So his quarterback has been rookie Derek Carr that he promoted in the middle of the season and Andy freaking Dalton on the end of his career. I mean,
the man's history
and says, a Michael Thomas-less Saints.
The man's history says you got to prove it to me.
I mean, it's fair. I mean,
it's as simple as that. Like, I'm taking my heart out of it because last year we all bought in. We're like, no, Dennis Allen's going to be fine. The roster's great. And we saw what happened. So I'm not going to get sucked in again. I'll gladly take the over and lose.
The perfect description of the 9.5, though, I was a couple days ago, I was talking to our friend of the show, Nick Underhill, about this. And he said 9.5 is an absolutely diabolical number. That was, I mean, he's just like, because it makes sense to go over. To be fair, I will admit he said he would take the over. You're just like, you look at the schedule, it makes so much sense. But my Lord, 10 sounds like a whole lot of wins after what we've watched the last couple of years.
It is funny.
It's just a huge, like,
double digit number. 9 and 10, right.
How can I believe in this?
Double digits in the win column, it gets a lot scarier. James, where are you going with this one?
I'm with Jason on this one. Until Dennis Allen shows me otherwise, I can't take the over. Start the season well, and you'll be like, okay, we might have a shot here of getting to 10 wins. But as it stands right now, I don't believe. Yeah. I don't believe that'll be the case, and I would take the under.
You're not going to be able to take the over 9.5 after you start well. Now that's the number's going to
I know that. I mean the Vegas line
James, are you saying you don't predict us to go 17-0? I've never heard that from you before.
Never predicted us to go 17-0.
Oh yeah, like 20-0, whatever it takes to win the Super Bowl.
Can I just say
that I got 13-3 right twice.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't
get that was a decade ago.
15-2 right last year.
So I think it's fair because of the whole Dennis Allen argument and even the Pete Carmichael argument is fair because until we see what they can do with this roster and if this roster can stay healthy, I do think the real money safer bet is the under. But
yep,
the hope that the Saints have built inside of me the last 4 weeks makes me want to take the over.
Look at you. Oh, it's going to be so great when your heart is
sucking me back in. I know they're sucking me back in.
Bringing all this full circle, the Panthers and Falcons were put at 7.5. The Bucks at 6.5. Strange. Again, this is what I brought up. Strange that the Saints were in last place in the division last year, but we've had the worst offseason in the division, but now we're predicted to finish first. And then only two teams in the NFC are higher than 9.5. 49ers at 11.5, Eagles at 10.5. And then there's two more teams at 9.5. One makes sense. It's the Cowboys. Also at 9.5, the Detroit Lions.
Yes.
Ooh, everybody, they're going to be the hot team this year for sure.
My goodness.
With they are. Vegas thinks they're going to win that division.
I mean, I don't know if I can disagree with that, but 10 wins is, I mean, that's,
I can't take the Lions with 10 wins. Although, you know, 10 wins is, I mean, it's out of 17 games now, not 16. So 10-7,
you know, 10-7. I mean, they went, what were they? They were what? 9-8 last year.
I know.
All they need is one more win, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I know they missed the playoffs, but
if they don't start out as bad as they started out last year.
You know, I bet if they have 6 more interceptions than they did last year, they will get one more win.
No.
He signed CJ Gardner Johnson in his 6 interceptions.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to edit point here. I'm going to close this as a show out, and then we'll immediately record a second show where we'll talk about Lamar and the NFL rule changes.
I'm going to go pee.
Okay. So, all right. That brings us to final thoughts. James, do you have any final thoughts this episode?
Yeah. We were talking about PFF before.
Yeah.
I'm very, very disappointed that they've now put their mock draft simulator behind the paywall.
I now can't do a
7-round mock draft on the PFF website unless I pay for it. I can only do 2 rounds. So cue PFF.
So is there another platform that you can use to play your little games?
Not that I've found yet. There probably is. But PFF was the one that I went to. It was easy to use and they've stuck it behind a paywall.
Okay.
So yeah, if you're listening.
Now hold on now. We might be able to fix that for you in the future.
I know.
All right. Jason, final thoughts.
I don't really have anything Saints related. Pels seem to be on a little streak here.
They're going to win tonight.
Can they make the play-in still?
Oh, they're currently the 7th seed, so they're at the top of the play-in at this point. They could still make the 6 or the 5 seed possibly.
They could be the 6 seed by tomorrow morning.
I think they're only 2 games out of the 4 seed, so
yes.
I mean, I don't expect them to make that, but
yeah.
If they could just somehow get it to 6 and not have to go in the play-in.
Win tonight against a very short-handed Blazers team, and then it's Golden State tomorrow night, and that's the big one.
Yep, that'll be the
you mean a short sleeve the Blazers?
No. The Blazers have literally got 17 players Blazers. Injured.
You missed it.
Yeah.
You'll catch it on the replay.
I'm not going to listen.
I ignore. That's all right. Don't worry.
Okay. Do you think there's any risk that the NBA and through their officiating are going to prevent the Pelicans from advancing past the...
Well, the NBA did actually change the rules so Luka could play.
They rescinded his technical. But they also
rescinded his technical.
It was
a bullshit tech that gets rescinded all the time.
That didn't take long, did it?
Perspective.
The NBA.
It was dog shit.
Well, we've also got some dog shit techs that weren't rescinded, but they also weren't the 16th to get suspended. But the NBA and the refs have been doing everything they can to make sure the Lakers make the playoffs.
Oh man, it's been
the free throw differential.
You need to look at the foul and free throw difference between the Lakers and everybody else in the league.
It's insane. They have twice as many, like the differential, their differential is like 400. The next team is like 198.
The Pelicans differential is 45.
I was surprised.
The Lakers is 411.
Yeah, 400.
So it's so blatantly obvious. It's the NFL refs, it's the NBA officials, it's pretty much pro sports officiating alliances against New Orleans.
In the last four games, the Lakers have 73 more free throws than their opponents.
And they're
that's a swing of like 17 points a game.
And they're only like 26th in terms of getting to the rim, which would lead to drawing more fouls. So it's not like they're being more aggressive going to the rim to draw those fouls. Wow. They're the Lakers. That's it. It's just amazing to actually like see it so blatantly obvious. The data
and everybody calling it out, and there's nothing you can do about it. Because they had the big game
against the Suns the other day, and the Suns had 20 free throws, and the Lakers had 46.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous.
All right, Wesley, final thoughts.
What?
Okay,
that's about right. That was the final thought.
That's all the show we have.
Yeah, I like us being the underdog. We've screwed up before by getting too full of ourselves as a team and thinking that we're just gonna beat people by walking on the field and having more talent. Hopefully, some of these little grades make sense and keep everybody working. I get scared about us being predicted to be one of the top three teams in the NFC. Like, I like it. I see talent. It's got to come together. But I just hope that everybody keeps that chip on their shoulder. I know Michael Thomas, if he's healthy, is going to play with a huge chip. I think Derek Carr is going to have a huge chip. He just got fired from his job. The entire country watched him get benched and nobody traded for him and he got cut and he visited other teams and all, like, and one of the other teams wanted Aaron Rodgers instead of him. Like, there's nobody that should be more of a tandem that has more to prove than those two guys. And Michael Thomas has got, $100 million contract riding on this, if not more. So both of these guys should, and Alvin Kamara, he's got a lot that he's got to prove too about himself as a teammate and an NFL player and just a man in general right now. So
so do Dennis Allen and Pete Carmichael have absolutely. A lot to prove. And
I guarantee you both of them had uncomfortable conversations where, listen, Twitter's not the GM, but both of them know that a whole lot of people were throwing fits about them not getting fired.
Yep. Yep.
And there's only so much they could say publicly to defend themselves. So,
and then I would add to that you have the new atmosphere in the locker room. It's going to be brought on by Jamal Williams and Kylan Saunders when they pair up with Cam Jordan.
And there may not be a guy in the league more than DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan that want to win a Super Bowl for this city and for this team. I mean, those two guys, as long as they've been around, as much as they've accomplished, that's what they haven't done. Both talk about it a lot.
So a lot of reason to believe and to have hope and to go take the over. So that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading it each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Follow us on Facebook. Look for Dome Patrol podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast and at Dome Patrol UK. And if you want to listen to us the old fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Braylon donkeys.